This is Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. When I say that our next guest has a following, I mean it. With over 360,000 followers on Twitter, Jessamine Stanley shares her life experiences every day. Jessamine is a yoga teacher and a writer, but she's also an advocate for inclusion, for body positivity, and for not apologizing for who you are.
And she approaches all of those subjects with an honesty that really stands out. She spoke with our producer, Leah Landry.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Leah. I'm happy to be here.
So yoga, on a very basic level, has a few components to it. It's physical, it's mental, it's obviously spiritual, but so much of what you see in popular culture, especially on social media, focuses on just one aspect of it, and that really seems to be the physical. People are posting photos of themselves doing yoga. They're in some, like, scorpion-like pose with, like, ultra balance on top of a rock cliff.
Exactly.
Why do you think that so much of what seems to be surrounding yoga today is really just preconceived and in some cases seems manufactured?
You know, I think that the way that yoga is portrayed in the modern world is really just a reflection of our capitalist society. It's the fact that people want something that they can be sold. They want to be enticed and excited, and they want to feel as though, you know, they're superhuman or they're special or different because they learned how to do this thing. And so then there's this whole culture that surrounds it, that the culture becomes even bigger than the practice itself. And when you peel it back, the practice has nothing to do with leggings or destination retreats or even these, you know, advanced, complicated yoga postures. It's literally just breathing and sitting with your breath and being in a state of self-reflection.
Do you think that that freezes people out of what could really be a formative experience for them?
I absolutely think that it freezes people out. I think that it's fascinating that this practice, which, you know, really is meant to be practiced by anyone, anywhere, regardless of what products you have or what you look like or where you're from, that it has become like a trendy exercise fad for wealthy people. And I think that really, the teaching of yoga is at its best whenever we're teaching people, not because we are looking for a paycheck at the end of it, not because we're trying to, you know, just get bodies in the door. It's when we're just creating spaces of flowing compassion where everyone is able to come and sit and find space. And I think that I want to see more visibility in the yoga world. I want to see more diversity. But I think that until we come from that space of compassion, where that's the motivating factor for growth, that we won't really see much more diversity, because it really, the accessibility is tailored by the intention and by the purpose that that's been tacked on. And there's so many people that can utilize this practice who often don't even get the opportunity to. You know, people who are homeless, people who have been in the justice system, who are incarcerated, people who have had their dignity stripped away from them by capitalist society. And that yoga is a way of remembering who you truly are, of restoring dignity, and of coming back to the truth and the love that's always present inside of you. But because we're so mired by this need to create a financial output, it means that the true spread, the practice can't really be spread as far as it could be.
So we're talking about body image in this segment of the show, and I want to know how practicing yoga changed your relationship with your body.
You know, I don't know that I would directly connect that practicing yoga allowed me to have a better relationship with my body. I think that those two things happened around the same time and that they are related, they're like cousins, but I don't know if I would say it's like a mother-child relationship, if that makes sense. I'm going to be more specific. A lot of times whenever people see me and they see, you know, a fat Black person who's become comfortable with themselves and they see that I practice yoga, they're like, the yoga must be how you were able to feel better about yourself. And I just don't know that I would draw that link. When I first started practicing yoga at home, I would take pictures of my practice so that I could watch my practice over time and watch, you know, just like look out for little things that I might be doing that I might not always want to do, like, you know, knee alignment, arm alignment, etc. So in the moment of taking the photo, I would be like, oh my God, yoga is amazing. I feel so great, blah, blah, blah. And then I would go back and look at the picture and I would immediately start saying awful things about myself. I'd be like, oh my God, my arms, my stomach, blah, you know, just like being so hateful toward myself. And after a while, I thought, why are you saying these things about yourself? No one else is here doing this. It's not like you're repeating the words that you hear your friends or your family or the media saying. You know, we want to point the finger in all of those directions, but I was the one saying those things about myself. And it took the process of hearing myself saying those things about myself in order to see the connection. Because now that I noticed that as a theme, mending that relationship, that's where the true work comes from in terms of having a better relationship with my body. Because honestly, I think that yoga is just, it's bigger than body positivity. It's bigger than all of this sickness that has permeated our society, this obsession with what our bodies look like.
So fat is just a word, and you've really been working to reclaim that word. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It's funny because I have never thought about reclaiming fat for anyone other than myself. And using the word has been something that I've literally just done so that I can have a better relationship with it myself. Because I spent my whole life being afraid of being called fat. If someone calls me fat, then what else are they saying? Because we have all of these connotations, all of these definitions that we put with the word fat that are not actually related to its definition. You know, we think that fat means stupid or ugly or just, you know, generally not good enough. And it doesn't mean any of those things. It just means large. And I think that for me, when I own the word fat and I call myself fat, I'm saying it's okay that you're fat. It's good even. It's good that you're fat. And that if you're fat, who else can you be? Who else are you? You can be beautiful and be fat. You can be athletic and be fat. You can be healthy and be fat. All of these things can exist together. And when we take the ammunition out of these weapons that are being used against us, we take the power away from our oppressors. And I think that for me, reclamation of the word fat has been indescribably important in my overall development. But I've never really thought about it in terms of how it's going to affect anyone else. But because I'm not thinking about it, I think that has made it have an effect, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today, Jessamine.
Oh, thank you for having me.